Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Comedian LaFell Crawford this evening. Who doesn't know who he is? LaFell Crawford has appeared on Def Comedy Jam, BET's Comic View, shows including Premium Blend, The Jamie Foxx Show, Comics Unleashed, Showtime at the Apollo, and Last Comic Standing. He's a busy, busy man, y'all. But tonight, he's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's going to be appearing at the Improv in Arlington, Texas. I think he has two shows there tonight, 8:30 and 10:30, and I will definitely be in the building. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the stage for the first time, because he's busy and got to get out of here really quickly, Mr. LaFell Crawford. Good evening, LaFell. How are you?
Hi, Carrie. How are you?
I'm very good. Listen, you caught us in a heat wave.
Oh, man, heat wave ain't the word, Jack. I need to talk to the law to see if he can turn this thermostat down, Jack.
You know what? If hell is anything like this, we ain't going, right?
I don't want to go soon. I would have to bring me air. I'm going to have to go to rental center before I go to hell. Give me an air conditioner.
Listen, LaFell, you know, I have followed your career. I really have. I mean, and I find you to be really one of the funniest men out there. How in the world is it that you can find it to be funny day after day, night after night, club after club? How do you do it?
Oh, man, I always find laughter in anything, man. I always believe laughter is the best medicine. So I try to, I come up with something funny, you know, anything from a funeral to, you know, not getting paid that day. I'm going to come up with something, man. You know, you can't be mad all day. I write jokes about the real. Seem like people laugh harder at the real. I talk about my mom, my daddy running off, coming back to my life after 30 years. Like he just been around the corner talking about whose birthday was when I left. All the vibes. Come on, man.
You know what? You're talking about your life. I understand that really you had some hardships coming up. Your father did leave early on, I understand. And I understand that you had a weight problem from, like, even a child.
Well, I mean, you know, that wasn't dramatic. Hell, you black people, we eat wrong. Shit, I don't know. I think most black folks got weight problems. Some blessed to be skinny, but shoot, it came to my family reunion this year. It looked like it had been a whole season of the Biggest Loser, you know. You know, just how I died is. Black folks go hard. Peach cobbler on top of sweet potatoes on top of candy ham.
You know what? Well, I understand, too, that while you were growing up, you almost drowned at age 10. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. That's why I tell little black boys, stay away from white girls. I was finding a white girl through the pool, and she could swim. You know, white folks can swim. Black folks go for a dip. White people go for a swim. We just put our feet in the water. Here, I'm trying to go in deep. Ain't had one swimming lesson.
No.
I woke up, they would give me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
And that was at age 10.
Yeah, at age 10. I was sitting underwater. They had to pull me up. I was knocked out. I had drowned that thing. So
now,
I was
have
going
you ever
to going up to yonder.
No. You never learned how to swim.
Oh, I can swim like a fish now. You know, I love the water, man. You know, it's just, then I didn't know, shoot. You know how it is, too. My mom had time taking no swimming lessons, shoot. Our biggest swimming pool was the bathtub.
You know what? I understand, LaFell, that your first paying gig was in, is it Bellevue, Illinois?
Yeah.
How did you fall into the business?
Well, I ain't really fought a business. I was, you know, in between jobs, wasn't finished in school, trying to find my way in the world, you know. And so, you know, when you're a young black brother, you be trying to find your way. You have big dreams, right? I'm going to have my own business. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to work at Best Buy. I might get a job at rallies. Then, you know, it's just your dreams just fall down. And I was, you know, I guess the good Lord, they gave me a path because my cousin was dating a comedian. And she bragged on how funny he was. And I watched and I was like, well, dang, he ain't doing that good. And I make people laugh all the time. And I went up at open mic, man. And I said, Lord, I get one laugh, I'm making a career. Shoot, I went up and killed it, just talking about my mama's car burning up and almost burned up our Christmas presents. So, you know, and that like 3 weeks later, like a month later, I got my first gig in Belleville, Illinois, at Chuckles Comedy Club. And my car caught on fire on the last day, and I had to use my whole check just to get my car fixed. So, you know, but it was a great experience. And, you know, here I am, you know, getting paid real well doing it, and turned it into an acting career as well as a comedy career.
I heard, you know, I've heard about some of the movies you've been in. How many roles have you had so far?
Well, I did a few low budget films, and I've done two plays, but now I just recently did a whole season of the award winning series AMC Network Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Just finished the whole season. It started up just Sunday, first episode. Now I'm on the first episode. July 7th season, so you checked it out. I played Saul Goodman's bodyguard, and I mean, I'm the worst bodyguard in the game because I ain't protecting nobody. But I mean, it's a great experience. I also had a guest appearance on the TV show on Comedy Central called Workaholics.
Really?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm doing my thing, you know.
So have you been bitten by the acting bug?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Because to me, the comedian is an actor, for real, because you just do, you bring in imaginary things to life, and that's all acting is. I mean, you know, even if you tell stuff about your real life, I mean, you exaggerating it so much, and that's all acting is making people really believe you Harry Potter and you flying on a broom, you know. I mean, you got to make them really believe in you so they get caught up in the situation. So, yeah, you know, acting been in my system a long time.
So, I mean, like, you've always been funny. Everybody always said LaFell is funny.
I don't know about, you know, I thought I was funny, but I never thought I was real funny. I thought I was clever, but I used to have something, you know, wise to say all the time, because I used to want to be a rapper back in the days when, you know, oh, yeah, I used to rap, but I used to rap Joan on people, used to talk about how they look and stuff. You know, I used to rap, you know, really dog people out by rapping about them, and people loved that, man. They thought that was cool, you know. And then I got real good at that, and I was making people laugh with my rap. So, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I was in college, and I met Sinbad, and he came up to my school to do a show, and he was the first black comedian I see do live stand-up, you know, except for Richard Pryor.
Ooh.
And when he was up there, it was just overwhelming to see that, you know. And I was just like, oh, my goodness, man, this is phenomenal. But, you know, I never thought I could do it until I got on stage one night, because I used to make my ex-girlfriend laugh, and, you know, she laughed right into another guy's arm. So I guess...
You know, so who do you idolize in the game? To me, you remind me of Robin Harris, but you know, and he was one of the greats. But who do you idolize in the game?
I don't idolize nobody but Jesus. But I mean, it's people that I enjoy. Like I love Robin Harris, you know, and to be compared to him is an honor. But I love his. I love his stand-up, and I really love Richard Pryor, and I you know, of course, Eddie Murphy. Then you go way back to Roddy Dangerfield and cats like that, you know. Some of the new cats out here doing their thing, from, like, you know, I enjoy Mike Epps, Dave Chappelle, you know, but I also like Ellen DeGeneres.
Really?
Yeah, some people like that. And there's a lot of comedians that may not even be on the radar that, you know, that people don't know about that I watched before. Like, you know, like one of our great comedians, Robert Schimmel, who passed away in a car accident like about 2 years ago. He was a very funny comedian to me, you know. So, and I always like comedians that can take pain and turn it into laughter, you know what I mean? Just bring you, like, you know, when Richard used to say, you know, do things where he fight with his wife and he go outside, you know, he be trying to be respectful with her, helping her pack her clothes up. Talking about, you need any help, I'll get you a suitcase, I'll help you fold your clothes, and I want everything to be cool with us, you know, and he being real polite, you know, and she like, oh, you're being real simple about everything. Yeah, maybe I wanted to leave as friends, and, you know, and I don't want you to leave, but if you're going to leave, you're welcome to leave, but you're going to have to leave somewhere besides that door, because I ain't letting you out this house, but I'll kill you first, you know. And he talked about how he shot the car up so she couldn't take the car. He shot the tire. I mean, this stuff is funny, man, because, I mean, you go through that, you know. Me being married, me and my wife have our ups and downs, and we might fight here and there. And the fights be funny because, like, you know, after we get done arguing, we made up, me and my wife laugh about stuff we didn't say to each other. because you go hard knowing you don't mean it, but it'd be funny.
So let me ask you, speaking of your wife, does she always find you funny, or sometimes does she, when you get home, she wants you to turn that off and be somebody else? I mean, you know, the husband as opposed to the comedian.
Well, when I'm at home, I ain't trying to be funny unless I'm just being silly. You know, I can turn it off, you know what I mean? I'm one of them people that when I'm off, you know. You know, I still be silly, but it don't be like, you know, me trying to be make all y'all laugh.
I understand that you said, I think I read it somewhere, that you said you don't like going to the club early because people be walking up to you saying, you better be funny.
I hate that. I hate, you know, because I don't know what's wrong with black folk, but we got to say something negative instead of saying something with some love. I hope you're going to make me laugh. You ready? Are you ready tonight? You know, I mean, like, you know, what do you come for? You know, if I ain't funny, you're going to be mad as hell. Why don't you come and have a good spirit? You don't go to Six Flags telling the roller coaster. You better scare the hell out of me. You better have me going down the hill screaming. You know, you
so there,
the doctor,
you
better get this damn
you.
Appendix out of me. Are you ready for this surgery?
So you said something about their energy. You don't go into the club early because the energy, if it's negative, that connects with you.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of times people bring their problems to the show. And, you know, and everybody think that, you know, one thing, when you're talented, it's like anything. Like, you watch Bruce Lee do his movies. Bruce Lee's a trained martial artist. But when I was a kid, I used to try to do all Bruce Lee's movies. Bruce Lee used to whoop some ass, you know. But then I go out there and be like, hi, y'all, and get my behind whoop. You know what I'm saying? I'll come home, I'm pulling shoes out my butt and everything. So, I mean, when you're a professional, that's why they call you a professional, because you make it look so simple, but there's a lot of work involved in it. And I think a lot of people watch comedians. Oh, I can do what he do. No, you can't, because that's why I'm here, and my picture's up here, and you're sitting in the audience. But a lot of times they come up to you and try to, you know, I don't know what it is. I think it's people laugh and cry at the same time. Sometimes people even get mad at you when you're too dang funny.
And I believe that. So are you ever heckled? Because I would be afraid to heckle you. But are you ever heckled?
Oh, I've been heckled a lot of times, but I handle my business.
Really? So
yeah,
you shut them down.
You want to come with it, you're going to come with it. I'm going to tear your ass up. You're going to wish you never did heckle me. You got to understand, I've been a chubby kid all my life, so I heard every fat joke in the game, so you want to get a fat joke out, come on with it, because you didn't know how you look until I brought it up.
So tonight, don't y'all heckle Mr. Crawford, because he will come with it. I mean, listen.
I wonder if you all see that when somebody heckles you.
Because, you know, to me, if you got your rhythm and your timing, and you know what the next joke is going to be, what the next line is going to be, and then somebody interrupts you with a constant heckle, how is that received?
You're destroying yourself on the show, you know, because you're wasting my time. I mean, I don't really pick on audience members. I talk to them just to keep them engaged, because some people come there and they mind be on so many things instead of just enjoying the show. So when you come there yelling at the comedian, that's just dumb. I mean, okay, you think you funny. Why'd you pay $20 to come in here and so I could talk about you? You shouldn't pay your $20. Let me do my damn job. You don't walk up at McDonald's flipping hamburgers for the kid or dipping the fries in the grease. You don't make sodas for 30 people. You don't do none of that, so why are you trying to help me?
So
you
spoke about people who have so many things on their mind. When you look into the audience and you realize you're not connecting with that one person, that their mind is somewhere else, do you try to engage them at that point, or do you just realize you're not going to get something?
Well, a lot of times I do, because it's a strange thing about entertainers or comedians. It's weird how it's just like, when I look on the Twitter page and all these other people showing me love, and that one jerk saying something negative, I'm tripping off that one little bullcrap negative response instead of all the hundreds of love you get. I mean, it's just weird how you are, especially when you're a creative person. You like, everybody laughing but this one lady. Why is she not laughing? I mean, you see it all the time, but then once you look over, you know. So I try to rearrange the jokes to see where I could get them. And once I get them laughing, I'll be okay. Okay. You know, but I be hating. I hate the flip side. If everybody else ain't laughing, and she the only one laughing, that would piss me off.
But it throws you off. So it does throw you off a little bit when that happens.
It never throws me off. No, I don't get rattled.
No, you spoke earlier about the kind of jobs that you had. What did you do before you were a comedian? I read somewhere that you hate regular jobs. You hate the 9-to-5. So what did you do before you became a comedian?
Man, I worked as a turnkey at a jailhouse. I was a crossing guard. I worked at a barbecue restaurant where I delivered barbecue.
Shoot.
I worked at a printing press place. I worked at an oil refinery.
Ooh,
I
no.
watched my nephew for 6 months. I worked
you had some jobs. You had quite a few jobs.
Yeah, I worked a lot of places, man. I did a lot of jobs.
And so by the time the comedian thing came along, you were happy to find it, and I guess it was happy to find you.
I guess it was happy to find me once I realized I could make a living at it. When I won a contest and got my mama cable back on, I knew it could be lucrative.
How competitive is the game, though? Because, you know, it's so many of y'all out there now, and you know, it's only so many audiences for black folk, or, well, not just black folks, but white folks, black folks. But you know what I mean. The business itself is competitive. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with competition?
Well, I've been doing it 20-some years, so, I mean, everybody that's out there now is looking up to me, so I don't really have to compete with them because I got my game tight, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of them out there, but there's only a few. There's only a few stars and there's only a few planets, and I believe that I'm a planet, and, you know, no matter what, you know, even if I ain't making the Steve Harvey said entertainer money, I'm doing pretty good, and I'm sought after. And I
oh, wow. Does your jokes ever get stolen by someone? Because I wonder with the competition out there, when you tell a good joke, does somebody then slide it out from under you and try to use it?
Yeah, I heard a lot of comedians. My own fellow friends and came up after me and did jokes that I wrote. You know, oh, man, I got a joke just like that. How you got a joke like that? And I did it on a special. It was on TV.
So are they saying they already used it, or are they saying they're getting ready to use it?
They used it the first show. They be working with me, open it up for me, and go up and do my joke.
Wow. So then does that mean you can't use it because they just use it, or do you still go forward with it?
Well, I go up and I do it way better than them. I mean, yeah, they, you know, come on.
Wow. And see, I wondered about that because it's just so many, I'm not going to say it's just so many jokes, but if you're not creative as the next person, you're going to have to steal something from them. You know what I mean?
But
and you're one of the
original.
I mean, if someone has stolen your stuff, I've never heard it done like you do it. So I was just wondering, does it ever happen?
Well, I mean, it's done to steal for somebody to get as much TV time as I have, somebody like that. I mean, I can see you stealing from your fellow comedian that's kind of in your ballpark, but you steal from somebody like me, you know. Then people going to be like, man, that's a Mel Crawford joke. I know that he is. No matter what you say, no, I wrote that now.
And your jokes are kind of a lot of times centered around your weight, too, though, isn't it?
No, not really. I talk about the plight of being a big man, but I got jokes about my mother. I got jokes about, I talk about a million things. People just look at me because I'm a big guy and think my whole jokes are about being big. I talk about eating. I mean, that's the first joke. But people always categorize you all the time like they always do. Like, they'll walk up to me and say, oh, I think you funny than Bruce Bruce. I said, well, me and Bruce ain't in a competition. They act like fat comedians have to go against fat comedians. That ain't just...
Well, so they compare you to Bruce Bruce.
Huh?
They compare you to Bruce Bruce?
Well, oh, man. I mean, you know, you always got people out there that try to categorize people, you know, and that's where, you know, the world just is crazy like that. Just because I'm a large-sized person, I mean, I'm intelligent. I don't just do fat jokes because people going to get tired of you after a while. You got to come up. Most of my memorable jokes ain't never been a fat joke.
Really? So what do you do when you're not on stage? What kind of things do you enjoy doing?
Well, I like golfing, you know, trying to get some cable in because when I'm at home, I don't get to watch TV because I got a seven-month-old son and a wife who want me to get acquainted with my son so she can go do what she got to do.
And
give her attention. So, I mean, when you, you know, when you're a father, you do that. But I play a lot of golf. I used to fish a lot, but I don't do that much. So, you know, and that night, go online and see what new porn they got out there.
Okay, wasn't expecting that answer, but all right.
I'm sorry. I'll be online listening to TDJ.
Yeah, I bet you do. Let me ask you this. What words of wisdom would you give to an up-and-coming comedian?
Well, the only thing I can give to up-and-coming comedians is the ones I give them all the time. And, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And you got to write and be personable. If you can write and be personable, have your jokes be personable, where they know you more than anybody. And they can know that just like when you hear a Prince song, you know that's Prince. Like when you hear my voice, you know who I am. You know my voice or my jokes more than they know my name. You just make a stand, but the only way you get that way is keep writing and keep on the stage. Stay on stage anywhere you can get up, anywhere.
Really? Okay, so you don't turn down the small gigs. You take whatever that you know comes
to
you.
No, I turn them down now.
Okay, so at the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning I did, but now I don't, every once in a while I might pop up in some places just to show it off. But now, you know, mine is a business now and a career, so I'm in the exploiting the Lavelle brand as much as I can.
Wow. I read somewhere that you had a sitcom coming out, or you're working on a sitcom or something like that?
That fell through. I mean, but like, you know, that fell through, but the Lord opened up another door, and I got the Breaking Bad, and I just shot a special, our special called Candle Brother, Get Some Love, in my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri. I went down there. It wasn't selling tickets. I got in with some people that I work with on the radio. They did show me a lot of love. I sold the whole first black theater in St. Louis out in 3 days, and it was off the chain. And the CD was released July 12th. The DVD will be released August 12th, and Comedy Central will be playing me August 12th on playing my special on Comedy Central August 12th. It's a hot show. People are going to really enjoy it, and it's all me and no ensemble on the Shaq Show, this Lavelle Crawford Show.
Really? So you're from St. Louis. So did you grow up poor in St. Louis?
I don't know what poor was. We sure wasn't the Huxtables. I'm going to tell you that. I mean,
a lot of brothers and sisters?
No, I had two sisters and myself and my mother, who was a single parent.
Wow.
And she worked every day. I mean, she never wanted for, too many things because, we didn't have too many things. But we were blessed to, have the essentials. So.
Wow. LaFon, honest to God, I when I see you on stage, I mean, it's almost, you have these expressions on your face that sometimes it almost looks like you can see the punchline coming before it gets there because of your eye movement and your facial movement. Is that all a part of it? Do you work on all that, or is that just natural?
Well, it's really natural. I mean, but it's all about, getting on stage and working that magic. Your whole, I met a lot of people in my time, a lot of veterans, and one veteran, one guy that Rudy Ray Moore, he said it best. He said, use what you got. Use everything you got,
Really?
Yeah. So,
everything.
Yeah. When you're up there, you use your facial expression, your eyes, the changing of your voice. Like when because I learned stuff from speakers like Hitler. Hitler kept people interested in, his speeches by changing the tone of his voice.
Really?
Man, so when you're up on stage, you keep the attention by, doing different things, keeping people into the show.
If, you know, they ain't interested in you, find a way to get them interested in something you're saying, or find a way to get them on board of what you're talking about.
Great.
You know? Just being on stage.
Now, you know, when you did Comic View, I honestly, guy, when I would see you every week, you knew that you were going to bring it. I mean, you knew that for that time that you were going to be up there, you were going to absolutely bring it. Was that one of your more enjoyable gigs?
Man, you know, Comic View was great because it was our people doing our thing, you know, and it was a great time. And, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, I love getting on stage. I love stand-up. I never made a big deal about worrying about how I'm going to do it, because I love getting up there doing it. I mean, especially in front of your people, because you can just be yourself. And I hate how they exploited that and then keep it, you know, keep it invalidated as it was, because, you know, you watch any other shows, like, you know, like any white stand-up shows, they keep the format the same. Black folks always want to be innovative and try to do something that don't even make no damn sense. Might as well just, you know, make the stuff hot, man. Keep it hot.
So it was working, and they moved away from what was already working?
Right. Just killed it, you know. So, I mean, you know, that's why black comics don't have no outlets today, you know. And, but, you know, then again, you know, it can hinder some comedy because, like, when I got on Last Comic Standing, you know, they really thought that I wasn't going to be able to shine, but the thing that they didn't know is I started off in the white comedy club before I got in the black comedy club, but I knew how to handle myself.
Really? So when you're out there, I mean, I don't understand why there aren't more venues, but why don't people like yourself create venues?
Well, people like myself trying to create his career and trying to get my empire and pay off my IRS debts and everything. See, that ain't my job. My job is to bring the money. Now, when I get to the level like Steve Harvey, then when I got that kind of money, trust me, I will. You know, but right now, I'm just making it happen for where I can, you know.
I understand. Because, you know, I mean, really, it doesn't seem like we have the things that we used to have out there, like the Comic Views. And I was wondering why that just kind of dried up. But you're saying we did it to ourselves.
Well, I'm sure we did it. I mean, well, Comic View did it. I don't say we. See, black folks don't have control of nothing.
Okay.
Here's my cousin. I mean, we'll leave that out. But black folks don't have control of nothing. I mean, Viacom or BET, you know, that's how it is. You know, they change the format. A lot of people want to, you know, they want to just mix the black, you know, like when they brought the BlackBerry in on there and they had tried to do some sitcom thing with Comic View. And it was just silly. It wasn't funny. It didn't make no sense. And, you know, they could have just had straight stand-up, and that's all they needed. But, you know,
they thought that they had to do more, somehow do more or something. Something incredible, which it wasn't working. And I think
today, though, to be in any type of showbiz, you have to have more than just the act itself. You got to be a businessman, too, or a businesswoman to really.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, it's show business. You know, that's the key word, business.
Mm-hmm. And so if you go into the game naively thinking all I have to do is just be the act, because I'm just clarifying what you just said, but you have to be more than the act. You've got to be a smart business person, too, because there's always people out there that will take advantage of your gift.
Well, I mean, it's the thing about when you first start out, you don't get exploited, you know. I mean, you just use them as they use you. I used to use them as that. I used to pimp women. Now I pimp Hollywood, you know. You got to, you know, you just got to, you know.
You've got to go. Go for it, you know.
You know, like, you know that they're going to do you, you know, you're going to get some funky things done to you. And, but you got to, you know, remember, too, that they got to keep their doors open, too, at the comedy club. So your mind frame, you got to always be on, let me just, you know, hit this thing as hard as I can, and I will come out on top, you know, like we. People think think that I'm a superstar and all this stuff, but, you know, I'm still working on getting where I think I deserve. I mean, I've been blessed, been getting a lot of blessings, but I haven't felt like I got where I wanted to yet.
Because the game keeps changing from what I see. So you only have so many years at that peak point. So you have to work it while you got it, right?
Well, I don't think it's never a year thing. I mean, because some people become famous after they've been in for long. You say, oh, man, where this guy come from? And he's been around forever. Y'all just found out about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's a steady course, you know what I'm saying? But you got to also, you know, keep on keeping it fresh and don't give up on yourself and stay faithful, I think.
Really?
You know?
And I agree. You have to stay faithful to the game but the game is constantly changing, is it not? It's kind of like rap music, for a while it was the dope boy rap, then all of a sudden it became the club rap. Doesn't the same thing happen in the comedic world? Certain. No?
I'm funny is just funny. I mean, if you're funny, you're funny.
Really?
Rap game changed because they didn't ever want nobody talented to make it. So they put all these clowns up there that just don't even make the Soulja Boy, Superman, you know, with the beat funky, but he ain't saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no offense, but he ain't.
You know what? You told us earlier that you thought you was going to be a rapper. Will you give us a little something?
Nah, I ain't got nothing. Ain't got nothing no more. I'm 42. I can't rap no more. I used to do it.
Don't not be the failure, but a try. All right, listen. Let me ask you something. Tracy Morgan got in trouble a couple months ago about a comment that he made about I think it was gay people. Or gay people committing suicide or something to that effect. What do you think when you all go out there every night and you're putting a joke out there and you're standing on stage and you're classifying yourself as a comedian, and then somebody takes it and exploits it and turns it into something you didn't mean it to be? How do you react to how they did it?
Well, I look at it like this. You know, white America always target a successful black man, and I never try to throw the race card in nothing, but sometimes it makes sense because, you know, I don't know when homosexuals became so powerful, but I don't even know when homosexuality became a reason for somebody to get upset when you say something about somebody being gay, because I remember the good old days when you could joke about homosexuals and they just stayed in the closet and just laughed it off. But I mean, they've been racially exploiting black people forever. But we can't get nobody to come and do a press conference and say they sorry to us. They just hide out till the stuff die down.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, as far as, you know, you trying to get mad at me for saying something, I mean, my whole thing is, you know, I look at it like this. I'm a comedian, and if you come to my show, you enter at your own risk, so you should have no right to get mad or make me come up and say nothing to apologize for. That's some bullshit. I mean, bullcrap. Sorry.
And I understand, because, you know, it seems like really y'all are under attack. I mean, really, because most of the time you would think when people go in there, everything technically is kind of classified as a joke. But when Kramer got on stage, I think about a year ago, and used the N-word, is it certain times that it's not acceptable, everything is not a joke, or is it always a joke once you're
saying it? Well, I mean, you know, the whole thing about the N-word is totally different than talking about a homosexual, because being black is not a choice. You got to understand, dating a man is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you try to say, it's a choice.
There's rules to it.
I read the Bible several times. I know one doggone thing, God didn't accept homosexual. That's why he blew up Sodom and Gomorrah. But see, I get in trouble for saying something like that. But I know I had a gay cousin who I loved dearly that passed away with AIDS. I have another family member who's gay who I just found out was gay. I have no problem with gay people because I don't
accept you for being gay. I accept you as one of God's children. I don't accept you as a homosexual. That's on you.
That's your lifestyle.
Right.
You deal with the person.
Right. But, I don't put you down for that. But I got to keep it real. I ain't going to accept it. This is how I feel about it. Just deal with it. You know, I don't accept your lifestyle. I let you do your thing and go about your business. But don't sit up here and make me apologize for my views. But being black and you say something about us being hung and upside down and stabbed with pitchforks, I mean, our people been persecuted for years. We so persecuted, we don't know when somebody treating us wrong no more. We treat each other so doggone bad. We can't. I have some black people. Only a few come up and give me a full compliment. Black people come up and say, "Your fat ass is funny as hell." You know, I'm like, "Damn, why I gotta be fat?" And then you give me the compliment. That's a backhanded compliment. I mean,
no, they really. I mean, really, and they don't think you should be offended by it.
Right? They don't. I guess they don't. I don't really understand why they don't. But it's hilarious. Like, it's like I was like, "Oh, thank you very much. Just call me a fat ass on top of it. Appreciate that."
You know, I heard Ricky Smiley say one time that, you know, when he's in Walmart, he feels like he's having a panic attack when people bombard him and rush him and ask him for signatures or autographs. Do you have that same problem? I mean, does it bother you when people approach you in public?
I don't have no problem with people being my fans. You know, it can be overwhelming sometimes, but I take it all in stride. I just don't like when people come up and they try to do an interview with you and it ain't going, and you're asking nonsense questions and saying dumb stuff like, "Is that your mama saying that? Is that your wife? Is that your," you know, just go so stupid, you know. Just say you like what I do and, you know, if you want to autograph a picture, let's do that. You know, then some black people, "Where you going to be performing at? How much the tickets? Is it funny? You the only one on the show?" I mean, what do you need to know all that for? You ain't, you know, you probably ain't coming anyway.
Okay.
You know, but I like people to just come up and just be regular folks, say, I love you, I appreciate your comedy, can I get an autograph? And that's fine with me, you know. It don't never be a lot of folks, but it just be that one fool that mess it up for everybody else. You know, that you want to try to crack a joke. "Tell me a joke." You know, that's ignorant. You know, that little stuff like that just, you know.
So you don't tell them
that
you get paid for your jokes, that you don't just tell them?
Yeah, I can say that, but it's a waste of my energy because they don't understand. Then they'll be more offensive with, "I got $5. You know, and then I'll be wanting to punch them in the throat.
Okay. So you do have your mom. And I can understand because, you know, I remember watching being Bobby Brown, and Whitney Houston just wasn't feeling people approaching her. And I didn't know after hearing Ricky Smiley say what he said, if y'all just get to that point sometime where you just want your family time and you don't want the fans kind of, you know, bombarding you when you're in an airport or you're out eating with your family or something like that.
Well, I think people don't know. Some people just, I think we're in a society of the crackhead babies growing up. That's all it is.
And folks just don't know no better. Is that what it is? Did I lose you? I think our board lost him just for a second. Let's see if we froze. And we're going to try to bring I fell back up, or we may have lost him. Mr. Crawford, are you with us? Oh. Y'all, I think we're having some technical difficulties with our boards. Looks like they froze for just a second. Mr. Crawford, don't hang up. Let's just see if we can fix the problem. I'm going to do a little troubleshooting on the switchboard and see if we can fix it. Let's see if we can fix it. Are you there, Mr. Crawford? Our boards have just frozen. We are not able to fix that line. Mr. Crawford, are you with us? Okay, y'all. For whatever reason, the boards just completely froze and are not moving. I do apologize. I was so enjoying the conversation with Mr. Crawford. LaFelle is a pleasure to have on. and we are not able to get his lines. I don't know. We still show him on the phone lines, but we're not able to open the phone lines. I don't know if the problem is on his end or on my end. Okay. Mr. Crawford, if you will, hang up and call back in. I know you're pushed for time tonight, but we just want to close out and say thank you. Maybe you can hang up and call back in, if at all possible. He's got a show tonight, y'all, at 8:30, and he's got one at 10:30 at the Improv in Dallas. If you just tuned in, you come center stage tonight. We were talking with comedian LaFell Crawford. Funny man. In my opinion, one of the funniest men in the business. For some reason, our switchboard has completely frozen. We show Mr. Crawford as still being on the board, but for whatever reason, we are not able to open his phone line. Let's try one more time. Mr. Crawford, are you with us? Completely frozen phone lines. We're going to try to fix this technical problem, y'all. Give me 1 second. Okay, let's see what happens. Oh, my goodness. We do want to wish him well tonight. I'm going to the show, y'all. I'm going to tell y'all to join me. Improv in Arlington, Texas tonight, 8:30 and 10:30 is the show time. Mr. LaFell Crawford will be there doing what he does best, making us laugh. Y'all, if you want to see me in person, come join me because I'm going to be trying to get a picture with the funny man. Let's see. I am completely frozen, y'all, and I cannot open my phone line back up. I am just amazed at what happened here. Let me try something else. Okay, let me try. I am completely frozen. I don't know what happened. Let's try going back into our system and hoping for better luck this time. Completely struggling with this system, y'all. I apologize. Again, Mr. LaFell Crawford will be in Arlington, Texas tonight at the Improv. Funny man. If you feel like you had a rough week and you want to laugh, the Improv is the place to be. Be in the building and hear Mr. LaFell Crawford in person doing what he does best, cracking jokes and making us laugh. Let's see here, y'all. I don't know what happened. Why did we freeze up? Okay, we're going to try him again. Mr. Crawford, are you there? Mr. Crawford, are you there? Mr. Crawford, are you there? For some reason, we have to... Good evening.
Hello.
Yes. Is that you, Mr. Crawford?
That's me.
What happened? We completely lost you.
Man, that raggedy phone in the hotel died, man. I called it.
I thought it was my switchboard. I was about to tear up my switchboard thinking, oh, my God, I have cut off LaFell Crawford. You know what? So, listen, tell us tonight. Where you are. You're in the Improv in Arlington, Texas. From what is it?
Two shows tonight, 8 o'clock and 10:30. Tomorrow we added a show, a midnight show. We got an 8, 10:30, and a midnight show.
Okay,
tomorrow,
y'all, correction. I told y'all 8:30. So it's 8 o'clock tonight. 10:30 tonight, and tomorrow at what time?
8 o'clock, 10:30, and midnight.
Midnight
and then
tonight?
Sunday. Yeah, midnight tomorrow night.
Midnight tomorrow night. Okay, y'all, let me say that again. Tonight, 8 o'clock at the Improv in Dallas, 10:30 tonight at the Improv in Dallas, and 12 o'clock midnight Saturday night at the Improv in Arlington.
Wait, we got three shows tomorrow. We got the 8 and 10 o'clock tomorrow and the midnight show tomorrow.
And let me stop telling it. You tell them where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing and
okay.
When you're going to be.
All right, well, I'll do it. LaFell Crawford tonight, 8 and 10 o'clock, 10:30 at the Arlington Improv. Tomorrow we added a show. It's 8 o'clock, 10:30, and midnight tomorrow night. And then Sunday we added another show. It's at 8 o'clock, it's at 7 o'clock. And then we got one at 9 o'clock. So get
hardest working man in the business.
Oh man, we putting it together. They showing that all to love, and I'm showing it right back, baby.
Okay, now tell us about any projects that you got out there that we may want to pick up.
Oh man, you know, I just like I said, my CD, my hour special, Can a Brother Get Some Love, LaFell Crawford, it brings it home. is already on your iTunes. It's on your iTunes. It's also at your Targets and Walmarts all over the country. The DVD will be out August 12th at your Walmarts and Targets all over the country. It's going to be the hottest hour special you ever seen in your life. Y'all going to love it. LaVell Crawford bringing the funny. It's called Can a Brother Get Some Love? LaVell Crawford brings it home. It's real hot and hilarious.
Wow. LaVell, you know what? LaVell only promised me 30 minutes, y'all, but you know a black person going to push it as far as they can push it. LaVell, thank you so much for coming and spending time with me this evening. I mean, I really enjoyed it. And I'm coming out tonight, y'all. So like I said, I'm going to be at the Improv in Arlington tonight. Probably going to catch that 8 o'clock or 10:30 show. Love you much. I wish you much success. You know, really, anytime you want, come back, see us at the stage. We love you.
Thank you
really,
very much.
Really
appreciate that so much. Sorry,
okay.
We got cut
Listen,
off.
Listen, be safe out there. This heat is hot. Listen, we're sorry, you know, you had to come in here when it's like this, but this is Texas.
Hey, well, we got air conditioning at the Improv, so it's all good.
It's all good. Okay, thank you, and I'll see you tonight.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. LaVell Crawford. Y'all, I love him so much. He is the funniest man in the business, and he is going to be at the Improv in Dallas. At the Improv in Arlington, Texas. Correction. Improv in Arlington, Texas tonight, 8 o'clock show and 10:30 show. Y'all go out and see him. I'm going to be there tonight. I'm going to be in the building watching, listening, enjoying. Come out, join me. I don't drink, but listen, come have a soda with me. Do something. That's going to do it for me, y'all. Listen, this was a special edition of Center Stage. We had to come and do it, y'all, like we do. Because, listen, when you get people like LaFell who can only come at a certain time, then you make time for them. I appreciated him so much, his manager, so much for making it happen this evening. John, thank you so much. The Improv, thank you so much for getting me in contact with his manager. I really, really enjoyed it. Okay, y'all, until next time, bye-bye.